Good morning, everyone, and welcome to a live Dharma Sunday for October 18th, 2015. Koyo Kubota here. So very, very glad you joined us this morning. Well, as you know, part of Dharma, I was going to say, well, American Buddhism or modern Buddhism is everyday life. And this includes the movies. Of course, it includes daily activities. It includes driving the cars, you know, conducting business, cooking, music. But it also has to do with, well, the media, modern media. And Adrian and I went to see a recent movie called The Martian, starring Matt Damon. And the storyline is he's stranded on Mars as a U.S. astronaut, and rescue mission will take several years to rescue him, so he has to survive, and he's inside a encampment where the mission had been doing, you know, scientific research and so forth. So he was inside this facility and it was well equipped with things, but not to last several years. So he had existing food supplies and so forth, but he had to figure out, well, I've got to figure out how to get food for long term. And then he had to figure out this and that, and then something goes wrong, as it usually does in life itself, and he has to figure out how to deal with all these continuing problems for his survival. It was sort of maybe like a MacGyver type thing too. And he was a trained scientist. Yet, after the movie, Adrian commented that, you know, this was a good example of just do it and keep going. And in fact, near the end of the movie, after he had been rescued, and he was talking to some new recruits for astronauts, telling them, you know, kind of orientation session, and he was saying, you have to be prepared that things are going to go wrong, and you have to deal with those things. So in a sense, it was like the Nike slogan of, well, just do it. Whatever comes along, take care of it. Not just keep going, but keep going with a smile. Because he always had a sense of humor about it. You know, he accepted the situation. And he didn't monku or complain, oh, woe is me, or feel sorry for himself, or get panicked, or get over serious. He did the best he could. And, well, for example, he was telling the new recruits, yeah, like I had to figure out how to grow my own food using my own, you know what, my own BM. Because, you know, all the Martian soil is without organic material and humus and so forth and compost. So, you know, and then he would say things like, after the potato plants were growing and stuff, he would, I'm the greatest botanist on the planet. And of course, I'm the only botanist on the planet. And so with a smile, with a sense of humor. And I was reminded of a quote that I liked very much by Maya Angelou. In fact, I cut it out and I put it near our telephone in the kitchen, taped it up. The quote went something like this. Life loves it when you grab it by the lapel and say, I'm with you, kid. Let's go. well, we enjoyed the movie. I want to go on for today to introduce our guest who's going to give us a Dharma glimpse. Her name is Tamu Hoyo. She lives in Pennsylvania. She was part of the LM5 group, and she is the current president-elect of the Trailblazers, which is the support resource group for Brighton lay ministers. There's about over 40 now scattered across the country, and it's quite an impressive list. President-elect this year means that she will be president next year, and she's very adept in social media, and she's part of the Brighton faculty that helps to teach courses for the incoming new lay minister groups. The current one that just started is LM9. Hey, we just keep going. Okay, without further ado, Tamu Hoyo, for your Dharma glimpse today.
Thank you, Sensei, for having me a guest today on Live Dharma Sunday. My Dharma glimpse today, I'd like to do a reading from The Center Within by the late Reverend Guillaume Kabuse. This is, in fact, one of my favorite books, and in my local Buddhist meditation sangha that I lead, alternating Tuesdays, we generally have a Dharma reading, and we usually open a book randomly, and this is the one that we happen to open to on our past sangha gathering. And it was quite appropriate, and it was a wonderful message for me, and it's what I would like to share with you. Indifference to criticism, on page 84. In general, criticism and abuse are the most common causes of anger and bad feelings between people. How quickly we are upset or angered if others verbally abuse us. Gautama Buddha never became upset or angry when others criticized him. He remained quite self-possessed in response to even the harshest criticism. Ananda, one of his disciples, once asked him, "Why is it that you can keep calm and not be affected at all by abuse?" Buddha replied with a parable. Suppose there is a man who puts filth on a silver tray and offers it to you. Will you take it? Ananda answered, "If it was filth, I certainly would not take it." Then the Buddha said, "Well, if you don't take it, who has it?" Ananda replied, "The one who offered it must still have it." "Quite right," the Buddha said. "Abuses are like filth. That is why I do not receive them. There is no reason for me to become angry or excited." If you do not receive abuse, you will not become angry at anyone. It is no problem at all. You suffer because you make the abuse your own. Abuse and criticism are not bad in themselves, Reverend Guillaume goes on. You can profit by them if you learn from them by taking a serious look into yourself. If the criticism is true, accept it as fertilizer for growth. If the criticism is false, then it has nothing to do with you. As a matter of fact, great people are often criticized as much as they are praised. No matter how hard we try, we cannot control the minds of others. And there are always some who will find much in us to criticize. My teacher, Ake Garosu, used to remark, "When a ship moves forward, it creates a wake. The bigger the ship, the bigger the wake." We cannot avoid stirring up criticism by our actions, however good our intentions. But like a ship which has already moved past its wake, we should leave criticism behind. During that meeting, I really felt as if the Venerable Reverend Gyomei Kabuse was speaking to me. I was in the midst of dealing with the aftermath of receiving criticisms from someone close to me. And some of the criticisms were valid, and there were some criticisms, the ones that really deeply hurt me, that upon further reflection, I felt were invalid, and I know for a fact that they were. However, receiving those criticisms more than once, it was extremely painful. And I know there's a lot of us who deal with this. You know, we get criticism and we're not sure what to do with them. I like the idea here of criticism being like filth on a platter that is coming from someone else. You have an option to receive that criticism, and you have an option to not receive that criticism. And for myself, it's like this. If I decide to take that criticism, I'm going to take it because it's true and it's valid, and I can use it as fertilizer. And I realize that upon taking that criticism, I must remember one of the Four Agreements. The Four Agreements is a wonderful book written by Don Miguel Ruiz. And one of the first agreements is, do not take it personal. Do not take things personally. When someone hurts you or when they do something that, you know, you feel might be an insult to your character or whatever, don't take it personal. So I can decide to take that tray of filth, that criticism, and inspect it and look at it and see if it applies to my life. But even if I decide that it applies to my life, I can also stay calm and make the decision not to take it personal, not to take the criticism, but allow the criticism to transform my life. This reading kind of points me in the direction of the Four Noble Truths. The first noble truth is that there's suffering. There is afflictions, and difficulties are a fact of life. The second noble truth is that in response to such afflictions and difficulties, cravings and emotions arise. The third noble truth is that such cravings and emotions can be wisely harnessed and directed. And for myself, when I think about that third noble truth, I think of receiving that tray, looking at that tray of filth, that filth that's on that silver platter, that sort of insult, that criticism. So when looking at it, you know, I can decide, am I going to accept it? And if I'm going to accept this criticism, am I accepting it because it has validity in my life, and I can take, as Reverend Gyomei Kabuse says, use it as fertilizer for growth, and, you know, wisely harness that criticism? Or am I going to take it personally and allow it to hurt me and to destroy my emotions and cause suffering to arise? Well, I decided after reading this chapter, this parable, that I can move on to the fourth noble truth, that I can harness the emotions that arise in response to that affliction or that difficulty or that criticism, and I can take it and go into the Eightfold Path and look to see how I can make changes in my life. And by using the Gautama Buddha's the Eightfold Path, you know, I can navigate that criticism through right view, right thought, right speech, right conduct, right effort, and right mindfulness. So I can take those seven or six of the eight noble of the Eightfold Path and decide what I'm going to do with that criticism. And regardless, and what I want to share with you, regardless if that criticism is true, I still don't have to suffer with the criticism. I can make the appropriate changes in my life. And if the criticism is untrue, I don't have to accept it. And sometimes you might receive that criticism from someone that's really close to you. and their opinion matters. But as Reverend Guillaume Kobose points out on page 85 of the reading, no matter how hard we try, we cannot control the minds of others. So therefore, there's no point in getting angry or upset or moving into the mode of defense. If the criticism is not valid, let it go. And that's what I had to remind myself. Just let the criticism go. If the criticism is valid, accept it, make the appropriate changes. And if it's invalid, I don't have to accept it. And yes, it does hurt knowing that a person that you care about may not have a favorable opinion about something that you've done or actions that might have been misconstrued. There's nothing that I can do about it. There's nothing that you can do about it. All we can do is let it go and attempt to answer in the situation with compassion. Compassion for yourself and compassion for allowing me to share my Dharma glimpse with you. I hope that on some level it will be able to help you as it has helped me. Now, I can't say that I'll never, you know, fall into that trap of suffering from criticism, but at least I know that there is an option. And if I take a moment to take a deep Dharma breath, a deep breathing, and center myself, and I can decide, am I going to allow myself to suffer, or am I going to allow this moment to be a moment of growth? Thank you. Have a beautiful day.
Yeah, thank you, Kamuhoyo. Just a comment on, you know, I don't know exactly the technical situation, but the volume of her voice was kind of low. And what this reminded me of was, nurse, have to listen very carefully. Put your ear next to the speaker and really listen. You know? So even technical difficulties can be interpreted and used as a teaching. And it reminded me of this, one of my favorite quotes, great teaching requires great listening. Maybe this is the sort of the counterpoint to verbal abuse. But when somebody's saying a good teaching, you've got to know how to receive it deeply. Not just hear it, but really listen. There is an act there. Just like there is an act about how we handle negative speech. And this is such a prevalent source of difficulty in human relationships, interpersonal, whether it's at work, somebody unfairly criticizes you. Now, you don't have to ignore it, but we're talking about the emotional self-victimization that occurs, where we're so enraged and everything escalates and we attack back. So we're not necessarily advocating ignoring and silence, and you know, sometimes we do have to speak up, but how we do it is important. For example, one, you know, our basic attitude is, we might not realize it, but we get so appalled when we get criticized because we feel that shouldn't happen. It's a violation of my being in a way. Nobody is supposed to attack me at any time for any reason. I mean, that's really absurd. And in the Dhammapada, one of the sayings is, the world always finds a way to criticize you. I mean, they'll criticize you for talking too much. They'll criticize you for not talking enough. They'll criticize you for being silent, for whatever. You're going to get criticized. If you know this, realize this, it won't come as such a shock when it does occur, and you'll be able to deal with it in a very efficient way. This kind of lesson has been presented as a teaching by many teachers in different kinds of ways. You know, for example, I know some say, like, if someone gets angry with you, don't let it push your trigger, push your button, so that you respond in anger. Because what happens here is when you talk about karma, karma means actually means actions. Okay? So when we're, don't be concerned with other people's karma, okay? The other people's actions. You have to take care of your own karma. How you, where your focus has got to be. Because if you allow the other people's karma, and see, they have to deal with their own karma. You can't mess around with other people's karma, because you got enough problems taking care of your own. And like it says, and you cannot really control other people's minds. If you're going to say, no, I got to correct this. I got to, you know, then no, I got to give them feedback. Well, you know, yes, but there's no end to that. It's going to be, like the Dhammapada saying says, it's going to be countless. You want to spend your time doing that? Maybe you should pick your battles a little more carefully. There's going to be no end. So, much more efficient, if you want to put it that way, take care of your own. Instead of trying to polish every pair of glasses on people's faces so they can see the world right, even there's a billion people in the world. How much more efficient it is to clean your own glasses and say, hey, you know, take care of your own karma. And sometimes it helps when you realize that anger from others is, you know, who owns that problem? The complaint, the criticism, that's their problem. Unknowingly, you should not make it your own problem unless you want to, you know. And then again, like I said, it's how you do it. Okay? So, you know, if someone gets all upset, well, sometimes it's not the event itself, what they're talking about, but really it reflects their own basic insecurity, unhappiness. They're just not a happy person. They're lashing out at all kinds of things. Just like when you're upset, the classic story of the person that comes home from work and is all upset and comes in the door and he kicks the first thing he sees. Sometimes, unfortunately, it's a dog. Get out of my way! You know, dog didn't do anything wrong. And then, isn't it, the Buddha was so pragmatic. Well, you see the tray of filth? take a look at it. And if it does have a grain of truth in it, well, use that BM for fertilizer for your own growth. Hey, a lot of bodhisattvas in disguise running around. Sometimes we feel, too many, but now that is sort of advanced spiritual training when you could do something like that. And then if it if you realize that, well, this is, no, this does not apply, this verbal abuse and criticism. It really doesn't apply to me. It reflects more on the person. If someone comes and has a sharp knife, and knives of verbal criticism, sharp, comes at you with it, or shoots an arrow of it at you, don't just let it hit you and then say, why did you do that? Just turn aside and let the arrow just whiz on by and feel the breeze. That's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, keep going, and you indeed have a very beautiful day. Thank you.